party started.
This is Ghetto.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
It's on a website.
This is FNA.
Man, get out my way and watch out as I come.
I am a god, now what?
Why don't you get out of that jumpsuit and let me smack that fat ass?
That's a scary crew.
As far as the product goes,
voice of a new generation, man. You guys are the young guys.
Are really at the top of their games.
The two of them had something in common.
We bring you Radio Ecstasy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
FNA.
FNA.
Let it happen.
This is the FNA podcast.
Yeah, Friday. Take two. Let's try that again. Friday edition of the FNA podcast. Kevin Figures, that's me. Adam Olson, that is he.
That's my pleasure.
Our pleasure to bring the podcast to you guys twice a week. You hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at FNA Show. I can be found on Twitter at KFig1. Adam, that's me. Adam can be found at Follow Adam. Hey.
Good to be with you guys.
Yep.
What's wrong with mine? Son of a.
It's okay.
Take three?
Take three.
What take is the candy bar? Is that a take five?
Was that a take five?
Take something?
I don't remember.
Yeah, there's like a...
I was more of a Snickers guy myself, to be honest.
Candy bar.
And then there was certain... So, like, I haven't been down a candy aisle in a while at the grocery store or, you know, liquor store, whatever you go to. I didn't know that whatchamacallits were still around. Apparently, they are. And apparently, they're just as tasty as they've ever have been.
But you because it was still around, you wanted to celebrate it being around.
Basically.
And get one yourself.
I mean, kind of. I mean, why not? He's like, I thought it was dead and gone, you know? They used to have ads. Like, I don't think you see candy ads anymore. I mean, you still see Snickers, Want to Get Away, and all that, but...
If you're watching children programming, you'll see them.
Yeah.
If you're watching, like, Nickelodeon, so I don't see many anymore. The Take Five by Reese's is the one I was thinking
Take
about.
Take Five by Reese's.
Bitch!
Now, what is it? Okay, you see Reese's commercials. I lied. You do see a lot of Reese's commercials, and they have...
Because Will Arnett is voicing it.
Right.
That.
And you're like, what is like new Reese's inside of another Reese's wrapped in an M&M or something? Like they, it's
yeah.
like Reese's comes up with something new every 5 months.
Reese's Pieces inside a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Right.
I've made a huge mistake.
Which, it's not a huge mistake.
I mean, but it seems kind of redundant, to be honest. I mean, I don't like, are you getting any extra? There's no extra flavor. It's just more peanut butter and chocolate. It's all the same, isn't it?
I like that they have, and I haven't tried this yet, but there's a peanut butter one. For peanut butter lovers.
So there's more
peanut butter, less chocolate. So that kind of makes sense.
Okay, I get that.
If you're into that sort of thing, which I am.
Is there a more chocolate, less peanut butter? And if not, why are the chocolate fiends like me getting left out?
The double chocolate?
Why not?
They have a dark chocolate.
Okay.
I think they have a white chocolate.
Okay.
It's like the variety you get now at a Jelly Belly factory with every single type of candy that's out there.
Yeah, okay.
They're all customizable.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great variety. I think Twix has a peanut butter, a cookies and cream.
Mm.
Why are you looking at me like that? Because
I know, just like you seem to be very well versed in this particular topic.
Yeah, well, I like candy,
yeah,
Kevin.
Like maybe you've done some research for the next Geek News segment. I don't know.
I don't have to wait for Halloween.
Eat me!
Or, well,
to
you know,
stuff myself like
right.
the pig I am.
Or you could just wait till, you know, it's after Easter, so they have the Easter closeout, you know.
Give me the Cadbury eggs.
Yeah.
I love the Cadbury cream eggs.
70% off day after Easter,
in
week
fact,
after Easter.
That Reese's egg-shaped one, I think it is.
There is a Reese's egg-shaped one, yeah. There's Christmas tree-shaped
that
ones
has
they have.
A higher ratio of peanut butter to
Does
chocolate.
It? Okay.
Some people are very specific about the candy they're into.
Yeah,
that's
I feel
all.
Like I feel like there's one in present company.
Lay off,
oh,
man,
look.
I'm starving.
Yeah, maybe you've just done some really deep research on this. It's very
Lay
important.
The F off. Don't get me started on the Willy Wonka stuff.
Oh,
by
well,
the way.
Yes.
With the Gobstoppers.
Mm-hmm. Which and I've never had, by the way.
You've never had an everlasting
never had a
gobstopper?
Nope.
Okay, first of all, it is false advertising. They're not everlasting, but it feels that way.
Okay.
Just like a jawbreaker doesn't have to break your jaw.
But is it like in the
we
movie?
Got a bleeder!
Like, can you take the jaw, take it out, and then chew it later, and it's still fine and flavorful?
Depends on what you set it on, I guess.
Okay.
I wouldn't put it on a napkin. It's going to pick up stuff.
Makes sense.
You could do that.
Could you like preserve
it? Change flavors.
Interesting. So you could put it like inside of a Tupperware or something.
Yeah.
Pop that bad boy back up, throw it in your mouth, and you keep on rolling.
Not a terrible idea.
Okay. So how? What's
you
the?
You don't lose.
So clearly, it's not everlasting. But what would you say is the general lifespan of an everlasting gobstopper?
If it was everlasting, that's not a very good company like policy because
no.
you're only selling one to each person.
Well, I mean, unless
and then
each,
it's over.
Unless each one costs like $3,000. You know?
Yeah, you could have that, and some might pay.
Yeah.
But they're good, and I think they even have chewy gobstoppers.
Interesting. So
like chewy spree.
Like, but they're chewables?
Yeah.
Because then I don't think it couldn't be. Well, I guess it's called chewy and not everlasting, so they clearly don't false advertise on that.
Yeah. They're very chewy.
I was a big Pop Rocks guy. That was my non-chocolate go-to candy back in the day was Pop Rocks.
Did you ever try the
no.
Urban Legend?
I did not try the
you
shake
didn't tempt
up the,
fate?
No, I didn't do the Homer Simpson blow up the convention center with the soda and the Pop Rocks.
That might be the greatest intro to any Simpsons episode. Not the intro song
right.
where it changes every time they're on the couch.
Right.
But that is the best first 5 minutes of any Simpsons episode, in my humble opinion, even though I haven't seen as many episodes as
yeah.
others because I was raised in a Christian home.
Are you saying that the Simpsons are anti-Christian? They go to church, Adam. Now, granted, there was an episode where there
Ned Flanders gets made fun of the entire time for being just like our family was.
He does, but he's very pious, and he has a gigantic schlong, so he was very well blessed.
The man with the chest.
Exactly. He has a very swole. And like his wiener goes all the way down to the ground. He drags it behind him as he walks.
That was the episode where his wife dies
Correct.
By a t-shirt gun taking her out.
Correct. And Homer, I think, put together like a dating video for him, and videotaped
sports,
him. Videotaped him while he was in the shower.
And that's where you see.
Well, they do try to pixelate it out. Yeah. Maybe there's like an
they try, but
there's an uncut DVD or something where you can see Flanders in all its glory if you so wish.
I think if you rub up against your TV, you can get pregnant during that scene.
I would imagine, and even if you look on YouTube, somebody somewhere, I'm sure, has tried that experiment and shows what the results are. I would imagine.
Rubbing up against your TV?
No.
Oh.
I meant the Pop Rocks into the soda.
Yeah. There's the Mentos. That definitely works.
The Mentos, yes. We've seen that.
I don't know if you're going to die if you drink the Diet Coke first and then drop a Mentos into your mouth.
Yeah. Well, there's the...
Like an Angry Bird?
Is it Mentos that you give Mentos to pigeons and they explode? Is that is, or is that another candy?
Oh, that does sound
Oh, is that
right.
Alka-Seltzer? Maybe
yeah,
it's Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah. But maybe there's some crossover in terms of the ingredients.
Maybe.
What if you put them together?
Mm.
Along with the Pop Rocks.
Well, now it would just the pigeon would just disintegrate at that point. That's like the pigeon's version of Thanos. They would just fade away completely.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yes.
I don't know where we
how we got on this.
Yeah. This is a strange start to the FNA podcast. Coming up on the show, though, because it's our second show of the week, Kevin. Do we have rap news?
We do. And one of our favorite topics, one of our favorite subject matters, NWA is in the news.
Oh.
Yes. And there's another film that is in the works and apparently has been in the works for a while and is being held up by one person. And it's probably not who you think it is.
Mm.
Or who you would assume it would be.
Okay.
I'm not saying who it is.
I thought we already got that movie.
Yeah, well, we got a movie. This is a different type of movie.
This one's going to dig a little bit deeper into Dr. Dre and his indiscretions.
Not necessarily Dr. Dre, but another seminal member of the group.
Okay.
So
easy. Maybe.
Possibly.
Okay. Suge?
Cube, possibly.
I need more Suge.
Or Yella. How come don't nobody talk about Yella?
Any artist out there want to be an artist?
Give Yella his love. But no. So we'll tell you who that is coming up and what the controversy is on the back end of the show.
Before we get into first off,
yeah,
we got to get some more particulars out of the way here.
Okay.
Because the Petros and Money show did a deep dive.
Did? It's still ongoing. And I feel like it won't end for a year.
They really put you underneath the hot lamp.
Yeah.
They put the full court press on.
I'm sweating like Jimmy Nelson over here.
And I may do the same.
Okay.
Although mine, per usual, is more about me.
Okay.
And how I fit in
mm-hmm.
to the wedding of the century.
The century is strong. I mean, I feel like this is not going to rival Harry and Meghan.
Prince Charles and Princess Di got nothing. On what's happening here.
Maybe that's what we can do. We can have the wedding at like 3 a.m. And so most people just will be asleep at the time and they won't notice.
Because there was a tweet yesterday where people are now asking if we could live stream wedding.
I did see that. And my fiance also saw that.
And?
No. Nothing has been eliminated as of yet when it comes to that.
We'll have to wait for the wedding videos to get edited together.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly.
Maybe we could get some wedding music here.
Let me see what I can pull up here.
Here comes the bride type stuff, or whatever the stupid violin one is that everybody uses yet feels it's unique. I once was in a wedding where when the groomsmen came out, it was the Legend of Zelda theme song.
Well, that's actually pretty cool, to be honest with you. You know, I believe it was the late Joe McDonald at his wedding. Don't quote me on this, and Vasse will destroy me, but I believe that he and his wife wore like basketball jerseys or something, or at least he wore a basketball jersey.
Well, that's better than dressing up in like wrestling gear, WWF stuff.
Which has probably also been done. But I've also seen the wedding party. This is not him, but this is a completely like public wedding. It was on Twitter or something a few years ago. They basically announced the wedding party as if it was a starting lineup. They played the Chicago Bulls music and had a guy, you know, and had the wedding party, you know, run down the aisle.
Now, the best man.
And this is not the reception. People have done this during receptions.
Right.
This is the actual wedding procession where they run the entire court down the aisle. So.
And some people are much more traditional.
Yes.
And would poo-poo something like that.
Yeah.
But. Because I'm obviously invited, we already know I'm getting a plus one. And we already know I'm likely not going to have a significant other during this time that's going to be with me at the wedding anyways.
So who's going to be your plus one?
I think I need to auction it off, Kevin.
You're going to auction off your plus one, okay? I will say this right off the top.
What?
Based on the volume of people who are already likely going to be in the wedding, and by that I mean generally her family, because it's a lot of people. There might be some cuts when it comes to who gets plus ones and who doesn't. So I'm not saying that's you necessarily, but
cut that bitch off.
It's highly unlikely that every single solitary person who is invited will get a plus one. I feel confident in saying that.
Okay, but a guy like me, pretty big deal.
I would say
so. I have
so.
To have a plus one.
You were probably very, 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 very low on the list of people who would not get a plus one.
Well, I'm going to give out the criteria.
Okay.
For what it's going to take to be my plus one.
Okay.
First of all, you have to be a listener to FNA.
Okay.
Because I'm going to take advantage of this for self-promotion for the show.
As you should.
You have to prove you're a dedicated listener to FNA.
How do they do that?
Get creative.
Okay.
Stop with the Clay Helton banners on the back of a plane saying fire Clay Helton. Say listen to FNA.
I like it.
You must take steps to get FNA on the air on AM 570 LA Sports.
Okay.
I just gave away one.
Some have already done that and have been doing that, by the way, over the last couple of years.
FNA, Cotton, FNA.
Even being so bold as to putting Don Martin on those tweets, which we greatly appreciate.
I see them. I don't always favorite them.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting fired today.
I feel like you should hold yourself in higher regard, and you'll be fine if you favorite them.
All right.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well, I'm definitely holding myself in higher regard here.
Clearly. I'm surprised you're not asking to officiate the wedding at this point.
I am going to say this about whoever is my plus one, because I don't want to bring in some freak outside of myself to your wedding.
Okay. Well, what kind of freak are we talking? Like, you know, Quasimodo type freak, or like twerking upside down on the ceiling type freak?
Because
if it's that kind of freak, I mean, whatever floats your boat.
I don't mean the type of freak that's in the background of Instagram shows with Paul Pierce.
Right.
You got to pass a background check.
8-year-olds, dude.
Okay.
You got to get fingerprinted.
Okay.
Like you're going to work at a school.
Gotcha.
It's your wedding. We can't just invite anyone.
We can't, because I feel like Petrus and Money are preaching something completely different.
I've seen the people that go to their live remotes.
Yeah, so have I.
It's a freak show.
Well.
And I don't know what they're up to behind the scenes.
8-year-olds, dude.
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
No.
Now, if you are lucky enough to be chosen as my plus one, know this. Your wedding gift counts for both of us, so make it good and expensive.
I don't know if that's...
This is my criteria.
That's kosher. Probably. I mean, you're plus one. I mean, I feel like you, at the very least, maybe you go half on a gift, but I feel like the burden of a gift falls on you.
You're lucky to be invited. You need to take care of the gift for me.
Okay.
Make it nice.
Okay.
Also, you have to not hit on the same bridesmaid that I'm into.
Okay. I can think of at least one who you might be into. I would have said two, but now she's within like the last month and a half has gotten a boyfriend, so
still stands.
But there's at least one.
Hey, when's the wedding gonna be?
Oh, at least a year from now.
They could be broken up by
then. This is not. I mean, I would hope not, to be honest. But sure, anything could happen.
You have to bring me drinks on command and not shame me for getting shit faced.
Well, I mean, there might be an open bar where you can just freely go and do your thing without having to have someone serve you hand and foot.
Well, that's not how I'm doing it. I'm Prince Ali over here.
Okay.
F***ing faded.
Now, if I end up being overserved...
If?
You also have to take the blame for any inappropriate actions I may take, and you have to hold my hair back when I'm donating my insides to the porcelain god. Fair.
Some would say.
You got to come to the wedding of the century. Finally, all these stipulations can be bypassed if you just give me a $5,000 handshake.
Okay, that seems reasonable.
If the price is too steep, then you're not the right guy to be at the steeple.
Clearly. I think those are very reasonable demands, Adam.
And I think so.
And you'll have people beating down your door for this entry.
At Follow Adam A.
Yeah.
You want to be plus one eligible? That's what it takes. You got a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Get your house in order.
I'm glad that you are able to take this pleasant moment with my fiance and myself and be able to make it about you.
Well, that's what I do.
Of course. So, thank you, Adam.
Petra's money were way worse.
They were bad, and it's probably going to get worse, to be honest, with their demands of being able to pick out the venue and pick out who's actually going to be on the guest list.
You're just
going
to run away in a lobe after all this BS you're putting up with.
Yeah, Miami's like, we're going to get married on the moon. Everybody gets an invite, but
we're going to Vegas.
We're going to the moon, so whoever can make it, cool.
Drive-through marriage, drive-through wedding in Vegas.
Yep. Get our free gambling chips and keep on pushing at that point.
I do want to say congratulations, though, even though I've known for a while.
Yeah, Adam has known that it was coming. I believe one of our...
I've been knowing.
I believe Andre tweeted something and said, did you get engaged? This was like maybe like a month or 2 months ago, and I said...
Wait,
and
Andre 3000?
I think it was based on something that TK alluded to. I believe I told you and TK and a few others that I was...
Confidence.
That I was going to propose at some point, and TK just couldn't contain herself and kind of hinted towards a couple of things during one of the segments.
It's kind of the industry she works in.
Yeah. So being an insider and breaking news. So Andre picked up on it and said, did you get engaged? And I think my response was, not quite.
Why are you mad at me, Adam?
Why are you mad at me, Kevin?
So now, I wasn't
Andre
mad.
Andre
would
mad. Pry.
He was sleuth. He was being
Andre
a bit of a sleuth.
Andre has less shame than I do.
Yeah. So
he's going to want to be invited.
At that time, no, I was not. As of now, Andre, yes, I am.
Andre, you're plus one eligible.
Okay.
You've been a listener for a while.
I don't know if I want the two of you attacking each other drunkenly at my wedding. That would be my only fear about that.
Yeah, that's almost a given.
Yeah. So that'd be tough. You guys have very much a love-hate, oil and water kind of situation working.
I am a happy drunk, usually.
Okay. True. I've witnessed it. Very true.
Hey.
What?
Hey. But I need that beer now.
It's true.
But... if anyone could take me down to a downward spiral of despair, it would be Andre. He could change my mood up real quick.
Definitely. And the problem is, once you're at the wedding together, you can't block him. So he's right there.
I'm going to have to throw him out.
The entire time.
Are there going to be wedding bouncers? There may
someone
need to
else,
be.
Someone has offered. I think it was Magdaleno on Twitter.
Oh.
Offered to be security or asked if security would be necessary.
Maybe she had huge nipples.
Magdaleno, there might be security necessary for you.
Wait a second.
If we're to be completely honest.
I think we've seen David Magdaleno being dragged out, incapacitated from a place before.
I unfortunately did not see that. That was about a few months before, actually 1 month before I started my internship with Petros and Money at the infamous Christmas party some years ago.
We both missed on that?
We both missed that.
Steve Hartman was double fisting?
No, I was at that one.
Okay.
That was a different Christmas party. That was the following year. I was with Steve when he had just holding 7 and 7s, and the woman he was talking to or whatever was floating her off and doing things left and right, and he was just standing there, just like, what am I doing? It's like you're simping right now, Steve, which is fine. I love you, Steve.
Simping Steve.
I love Steve. Steve's my guy, but That wasn't
Steve
that,
the Simp.
That wasn't the best look. Not the best. But thank you.
I'm in the Hall of Fame of Simps.
But thank you, Adam, and thank all of you people who have sent some congratulatory tweets and messages. I greatly appreciate it for those of you asking for invites.
Good luck.
We'll see.
There's a list.
We'll see. There is a list. As of now, it's ever expanding before the great crunch comes in. It's like the Big Bang. They said the Big Bang happened, and then the big crunch is going to happen. It's going to be a big crunch when it comes to the wedding list.
You just need a good screening process. And when it comes to the females that want to come, I could help in that area.
I'm sure you could. I'm sure you have a list already compiled.
Why can't I get engaged at your wedding?
Oh, I am sure that would go over very well.
What do you mean? Steal
the spotlight away from the wedding and the bride by getting engaged yourself.
That's why they throw away the garter and stuff. That's what it's all about, right?
Inside secret. Huh? I don't think that's going to happen.
Huh?
My bride-to-be is not a big fan of that tradition.
Okay.
So that the tossing of the bouquet and all that stuff is likely not happening.
All right.
So,
non-traditional wedding.
From that standpoint, yes.
With some non-traditional folks possibly showing up.
You can say that. Jeez. Non-traditional to say the least.
It's going to be a madhouse.
Jeez. I never would have envisioned this.
Jeez. You're still in control.
To a degree.
Your bride is.
Yes, that's my bride and my future mother-in-law are really in control. Yeah. I'm just kind of along for the ride at this point.
That's true.
So
you don't want to go Bridezilla with it.
Nope.
Let them handle it.
Absolutely not. So whatever
whatever
works within the parameters of them, then I will be able to acquiesce anyone else who will be able to join the list or whatever we can add to the festivities.
Okay.
But quite honestly, to your point, Adam, I am not in control at all.
Especially when it comes to my plus one.
Exactly.
All right.
Let's get the first off here.
It's go time.
Let's rock.
First off.
All right, you want to start with your Clippers, what you're wearing, the beanie, or you want to start with the Lakers?
Well, let's start with the team that's more relevant right now.
All right, so the Clippers, seven games in a row? See what I did there, Laker fans? I'm going to get my Arnie Spanner. Oh, Laker fans! We'll get to you in a second.
It's like the 7-7 that Hartman was drinking. Seven in a row for the Clippers, and they've been doing so with seven different guys available each and every night.
Seems
it
like it,
like.
Right? It's unreal.
They missed their entire starting lineup. They were missing their entire starting lineup in Detroit. I know it's the Pistons, but they still have Jeremy Grant.
Still an NBA team. You guys are running backups out there.
Still have Pacey, Josh Jackson,
right?
Who's actually starting.
He's having a really good
show, a little bit of that talent that we saw coming out of Kansas.
He's having a very good year, and the Clippers are running out of ragtag. No disrespect to Reggie Jackson and Amir Coffey.
Respect.
Hey, Reggie Jackson played great.
Great all year.
This is not, you know, murderer's row. You know what I mean?
No.
So, I mean,
Ivica Zubac, you could say, was the only
regular
pseudo starter. He's been starting for over a month now without Serge Ibaka. Who knows? He could be the starter when Serge Ibaka comes back, because Ivica Zubac has been a starter in the past.
Definitely.
Big Zoo.
The big thing for
PMS guess.
My big takeaway from the Clippers with this streak, and really over the last month, and I don't know, you tell me, Adam, he might end up being the player of the month, is Paul George, who to a certain degree, he says he's found a way to kind of manage the foot injury. He's not feeling great, but he's found a way to play through it. And I don't know if he's mirroring the numbers that he put up in OKC when he finished in the top two or top three in MVP voting, but he sure as hell is close to it.
Oh.
With the efficiency that he's playing with, the aggressiveness being great on both ends of the floor, he's been as great as Kawhi Leonard is. I would have an argument that Paul George, when he's been healthy, and I know it's been spotty here or there, but he's been healthy and when he's been in the lineup, I don't know if I say he's been better than Kawhi, but at least as good and as important as Kawhi Leonard to the team.
He's been close. He hasn't been as consistent, but his peaks have been extremely high. He started off the season, I would say, the front runner for MVP of the Clippers. But since that foot injury, for about a month, the month of March, his numbers fell off a cliff. We're talking 40% from the field, 34% from three, when before that it was over 50%. He was doing almost 50-50-90 for a while. And now, even while he's playing through that foot injury, as you mentioned there, he's getting 27-7-6 the last eight games on 48-49-95 splits while throwing down on guys' heads. And to do this while playing through it.
Yeah.
And he does say it's getting better.
Which is interesting and very encouraging, by the way.
Yeah. Because they can't win a championship if PG-13 isn't playing to this level.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be every game in the playoffs, but he has to put up big-time numbers.
Yeah.
And he has at times. He's been up and down in the playoffs throughout his career. If people actually want to be fair and not just say playoff P, pandemic P, way off P, and all these ridiculous things that end up going viral.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing has been his clutch numbers in postseason games or even regular season games at times. But yeah, at times, especially in Indiana, when they were making it to the conference finals and making it into the second round consistently.
Number one option.
It was excellent.
And even against the Portland Trailblazers in that series where Damian Lillard hit the 40-footer yeah. in his face to end it, to which PG-13 called it a bad shot. He has since retracted that. He said the game has changed. It's mm-hmm. no longer a bad shot. I was wrong.
Yeah, and hey, look, at the time he wasn't. Because yeah. even I said, like, I mean, it was a phenomenal make and all that. And look, we'd seen Dame do it before. But generally speaking,
that's the ultimate hero shot.
Yeah, most people wouldn't want you to draw that shot up.
I can be your hero, baby.
But he put up really good numbers in that series.
Sure did.
And was good the series before, or the year before, against the Utah Jazz. He was up and down, but he had some really big games, mm-hmm. but he had a really bad game six.
Right.
And so people just remember that.
And that happens. Look, people want to, you know, we'll spotlight the closeout game seven against Denver when he hit the side of the backboard. Those things kind of get magnified, unfortunately.
Everybody fell apart in that game. It wasn't just Paul George, and he had 33 in game six, the game before that. It wasn't on him.
It's unfortunate.
It was bad rotations.
It's the what have you done for me lately effect,
that's
unfortunately.
A bunch of crap.
For the common denominator type people who like Rob Parker, who I love to death, but will just draw it to, you know, short menu, wins, losses, how'd you play in the biggest moment when it mattered the most without taking full context into it.
Yeah.
But
go look at the ingredients on the menu once in a while, Rob. There's more to it.
They're not organic. But he's certainly playing out of his mind. Kawhi Leonard has been Kawhi Leonard.
The one thing, to say the least, with him is he has more bounce than I've seen from him since 2017.
Guys, he's posterized a couple of guys.
He got DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Not just anybody, DeAndre Ayton.
Shot blockers in the league right now.
He looks as close as he's ever been to pre-Zaza Pachulia stepping on his foot against the Golden State Warriors in game one of that series back in 2017, and then it turned into a quad injury and all these other setbacks for Kawhi Leonard mm-hmm. since then. He looks as healthy as ever, but he has missed the last couple games now with a right foot injury. We don't know how serious that is, but he already missed one before with that same injury and then played the next game and then had a huge throwdown, so I don't know how much it's limiting him. Or if it's just them being overly cautious. That's what it seems like. They're being precautionary right now, is how Coach Lou said it.
Is it the same foot or same leg that basically caused him to miss an entire season?
It's the right foot, and I think it was the right quad.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's any sort of connection when it comes to that sort of thing. And if maybe there's not, but the Clippers, to your point, are being cautious about that and making sure he's not. You don't want to overcompensate and then get something messed up with the left leg. And look, to your point, there's no need to do it right now. Look how well they're playing without him in the lineup.
They're 15-4 since the All-Star break. I think that's the best record in the league during that time.
Flying so far under the radar, playing that well with big wins. That's not they're not just beating the Detroit Pistons.
No.
They knocked off one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns.
They beat Phoenix.
Fairly convincing. I mean, they won by 50, but I mean, they won.
They pulled away.
Yeah, they won convincingly towards the end.
They did the same thing against Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Philly, now without Joel Embiid in that game, but Philly was still playing really well. Today, though, they're going up against the Sixers in Philadelphia.
And Embiid just came off a 40-point game.
He's making a late push to get right back to the top
of
the MVP conversation. It's interesting because they've been the number one or number two seed this entire time mm-hmm. without him, and he's missed almost 25 games.
So does that – some would say that would hurt his cause to be the MVP.
You would think, but – a lot of those Rob Parker, big picture, big narrative people are just going to see that he's the best player on the best team.
Which is unfortunate for me, not to get too sideways here, but I mean, if I had a vote right now, I'd give it to Nikola Jokic. And now look, I guess it depends on what happens to Denver with the injury to Jamal Murray. Now, if they continue to ascend and he continues to lead them in every statistical category, I think it'd be undeniable that you have to give it to him. But if they happen to drop, lose four or five, fall into the 6-7 seed, then I think some of that momentum will be lost regardless of the numbers that Jokic happens to put up.
Because The criteria, while there's nothing specific, and if you did that, it wouldn't make it much fun talking about the MVP and why somebody should be it versus another, but typically, like 99% of the time since 1980, it's gone to the best player on a top two seed.
Mm-hmm.
The outlier would be Russell Westbrook when the OKC Thunder were a sixth seed back in 2017.
And that was only because he did something that hadn't been done in 50 years or whatever.
He averaged a triple-double.
And now he does it
routinely. And then he did it two more times, and nobody gave a damn.
He's doing it now on a team that's awful. And so yeah. I've heard two voters for MVP. Not Rob Parker, his partner, Chris Broussard, and Howard Beck, both say that they very heavily follow the precedent that you just mentioned. A player that plays on a top three seed and a team that would win 50 plus games. The scale is a little bit different because there's 10 fewer games. So it's like if you try to bring it down to scale, I don't know what the 50 game equivalent, 45, whatever it would be this year. But whatever the baseline that has been set, there are at least two voters that follow that precedent.
And the problem with what happened this season and why it could lead to someone like Jokic winning, even though he could be a fifth or a sixth seed. First of all, he is putting up historic numbers for his position. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 8 assists per game at the center position while getting his 20 and 10 or 20 and 12, whatever it is right now. 25 and 12, I think. But it's because LeBron James and Joel Embiid, who were the two front runners, both went down.
Yep.
Now, I would make the argument that Kawhi Leonard should be brought up way more. He's missed, though, 13 games now himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's questionable for tonight's game, but they're a top three seed. Mm-hmm. They could end up being the two seed. He's Kawhi freaking Leonard.
Right.
I don't know why his name, and it's strange to me because it's been like this all season long. Even when he went on a crazy 9-game stretch where he had over 30 points per game, I think back in January, people still weren't talking about him. But if we're saying it's Nikola Jokic versus Joel Embiid because that seems to be where everyone is putting them, top two right now, Joel Embiid, at best, can only play in 75% of the games this season.
Okay.
If he plays the rest of them, they got about 15, 16, 17 games
left. I don't think that's likely, to be honest.
His current percent of games he's played in is 67%. The MVP who played the lowest percentage of their team's games in a season, you'd have to go back to Bill Walton in 77 and 78 with the Portland Trailblazers. He only played 70% of their games. And I'm guessing that was the beginning of the end with his foot injury.
Felt like par for the course for his career just in general with Bill Walton.
Outside of that, the next closest guy was at 86%, which was Giannis Antetokounmpo 2 years ago, his first MVP. Last year.
Okay.
It's not even close. After that, it's 86%, 87%, 87%,
you're getting
88%,
into the 90s.
91%.
Yeah.
You have to play. The
you
best
play.
Ability is availability.
Yeah, you got to play. Yeah.
And the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers have been winning and been great without him, it should work against him to some extent.
Right. Now, if you want to look at the LeBron, because the problem is with these, and I don't know if it's a problem, I think it's just a reality. Narrative often ends up taking over or overwhelming when it comes to these sort of things.
Yeah,
so as great as Kawhi Leonard might be playing and consistently as he is, the narrative of last season and the Clippers folding in the postseason hurts them in that everybody thought they'd be where they are, if not higher at this point in time.
And it's unfortunate. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. I'm not saying that it should be this way.
It's being held against Giannis Antetokounmpo this year, who's having another fabulous season. His team's top four, top three in the Eastern Conference, and nobody cares because they're thinking about what happens in the playoffs, even though it's a regular season award, and it's an award for the 2020-2021 season.
Or even look at LeBron James, the fact that he basically admitted that he felt, offended that he was snubbed or didn't get as many MVP votes he won last year.
He was pissed.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
He comes out and plays as well as he has in his Laker career to this point, and he was going to be a front runner for MVP for the narrative of, well, he was pissed off, he didn't get it last year, he deserved more votes, he's going to come out and try to win it, and because of what he said or what he acted towards, we're going to give him more votes for that.
Well, for me, I thought he was number one for me. We talked about this a while ago back with Bob Schmidt here, because at that time, Joel Embiid had already missed 10 games.
Right.
LeBron hadn't missed any.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis had missed some. And even when he was out there, he didn't look the same. And LeBron James was carrying a team that was top three in the Western Conference at that time and putting up phenomenal numbers. And I thought he rightfully so should have been the front runner for MVP, regardless of what happened last season or him making the case that he should have gotten more votes against Giannis. But his highest his highest possible percentage of games that he can play at this point is 80%.
And that's if he were to suddenly start play on tomorrow against Utah,
currently,
which we know is not going to happen.
He's at 74.5%, which is more likely where he's going to end up.
Yeah, he's not going to come back for at least another week or two, it looks like.
Yeah. So in getting to the Lakers then.
Sure.
And talking about them, Anthony Davis, it was mentioned last night that he's cleared for full contact during practice.
Yeah, and even to a certain degree, not playing as well as the Clippers, who have won seven straight. The Lakers came out of their seven-game road trip 4-3, which is a monumental success without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They lost to Boston last night, but the fight that they showed at the end of that game to actually get back in it when they were down by, was it 27 or 28? They were getting their asses kicked.
27, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker and even Marc Gasol had a good night last night.
They forced Brad Stevens to bring back in the starters.
Yeah. If nothing else, I think it's encouraging that they're – one thing that has not lacked, and we've talked about this, you brought this up with Rogan and Rodney ad nauseum, as – poorly as they've been offensively at times, you talked to Jovan Buha about that earlier this week, their defense has been consistent. Defense is effort.
They've still been top five in defense, even without LeBron and AD.
Their effort has never waned. They play hard every single night, and that's difficult to do. A lot of times, especially, it's easy to kind of fold, especially if you get down big early. And look, they were down like 17-6 or something against the Boston last night. They fought back and got close a few times. Just being able to show that they have that grit, have that amount of fight, I think is encouraging if you are a Laker fan for when Anthony Davis actually does return, which could be as early as next week.
Because they did the same thing in Miami.
Yes.
Against the Heat.
Yes,
they were down, they fought, and they lost, I think, by six.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have all these guys who are seen as glue guys, good role players, have turned it to be very, very gritty. You know, you talk about your Carusos, Dennis Schroeder, who we've talked about, has not been as consistent or as good offensively with LeBron and AD being out, but has kind of been the head of the snake in helping them defensively. Andre Drummond has been in and out of the lineup. You know,
he's
been very up and down
with his numbers too.
But it's like whoever they have thrown in there has shown consistent effort and has played well and has made plays, which is an encouraging sign for them.
They also had some good fortune because Charlotte had nobody, not even Terry Rozier.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have LaMelo. They didn't have Gordon Hayward. And the game in Toronto was abysmal.
They didn't have their entire starting lineup.
Yeah, they had like six guys.
Yeah.
So they were fortunate there, but still.
I can't hold it against them. It's not like they were running Murderers Row out there either. I mean, the Lakers had nobody. They did have good fortune. And then Brooklyn had Kyrie Irving get ejected. And even at the time Kyrie got ejected with Schroeder, the Lakers were up in that game.
That's the game where there's really no excuse.
Yeah.
The Nets should have found a way to win that game regardless because they had Kevin Durant.
KD was still there.
They had the best player on the floor.
Joe Harris.
Lost by 25.
They got run off the floor.
I give the Lakers a ton of credit for that victory. And they're 6-8 now in their last 14 games, 14 games straight without AD or LeBron James. That's just about treading water.
That's an impressive run to be just a couple of games under 500.
Now, they got Utah twice.
Twice.
At Staples.
Not going to be pretty.
It's not a back-to-back.
No, they have a day off in between.
There is a day separated. And then they're in Dallas twice.
Not easy.
I'm guessing Anthony Davis returns.
In Dallas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he plays this weekend. I think it's, Saturday and Monday they play Utah?
Correct.
I could see him playing against the Dallas Mavericks now, Thursday or Saturday next week.
Okay, because I was wondering if the Dallas two-step was a back-to-back, and it's not.
Because
I figured if he plays the front end and sits out the back end, because even Frank Vogel said it last night, he's going to be on a minutes restriction when he gets
15
back.
15 minutes, likely.
So, which is as it should be.
Yes.
You know, you want to ease him back into it. There's no need to throw him out there for 40 minutes.
If this is as serious as Jovan Buha said it was, the
tendinosis
is something that may not even go away this season, next season, the rest of his career.
I
don't want to be an alarmist, but
no.
Let's say it's just more serious than he's back to 100% now because he took 2 months off, and that's actually not possible. He's still working through it and playing through it to an extent.
Yeah, from what I understand when it comes to tendinosis like this, for it to be completely healed and completely go away, you have to essentially do nothing but dynamic stretches for like 9 straight months.
Yeah.
And have no high impact, which is not possible. Even if he sat out the rest of the season, that still bleeds into next season.
The problem is, as skilled as he is, he still relies on a ton of athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers rely on that too.
Yep.
That's what makes him a unicorn, which makes him a matchup problem for whoever they're going up against. There's no way to match up against someone like Anthony Davis because he's so big and at the same time so explosive and so quick and so fast. And if he doesn't have that or has 80% of that, it makes them much more vulnerable.
100%. Definitely.
And especially because LeBron may also not be at 100% whenever he comes back. Now, it's a sprained ankle.
Yeah, that's more...
But it's a high ankle sprain.
Well, which is why, look, if it was just a sprained ankle, he probably would have been back by now.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a high ankle sprain, you give a little... They said it would be 6 weeks. And if he comes back, I think now in 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks at this point, that would be the six-week mark.
Mm.
And we know LeBron. We've talked about how, you know, he's a machine and can play through anything and recovers like Wolverine or something.
Dun.
I know that's Patrick Beverly's nickname, but still. So, I mean... If you're the Lakers, why wouldn't you, even if LeBron, let's say, is good to go by next Thursday for Dallas' first game, why not rest him an extra couple of games at that point? Because really, if you're talking about him getting back into the lineup at that six-week mark, he comes back and there's about 9 or 10 games left in the regular season. That should be enough, in theory, to get him right and get him going.
I'll say this, though. Denver has passed them by. They're in the 4 seed.
Correct.
Portland... They're in the 6th seed and 2 games behind the Lakers, who are in the 5th seed. What's interesting is Portland has, I think, the 4th toughest schedule remaining. The Lakers, though, they have the 7th toughest. But then you scroll down, Dallas has the easiest schedule remaining in the league. And they've already won 7 of 10. And they're playing the Lakers twice next week. Right now, Dallas, in the standings, is in the 7th spot. And they're only 3 games behind the Lakers and can help their own cause in those 2 games next week. I could see them putting a little bit more pressure on themselves to have to win those games. Because you fall to the 7th seed, you're in the play-in tournament.
Which, honestly, if I'm a Laker fan, doesn't concern me that much, outside of the fact that you have to play a couple of extra games getting into the NBA playoffs. I don't think home court advantage is... that deleterious for this particular team, considering how great they are. If you're thinking that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are totally healthy, obviously it's not an ideal situation. The bigger thing for me is, you know, you basically have, I think, 4 or 5 days off or 6 days off, whatever it is, while the play-in tournament is actually happening. So instead of having that extended time off, you have to play a couple of extra games, which I think, quite honestly, they would easily win against whoever, 8, 9, 10, or whatever it is.
Well,
I don't think that would be much of a concern for me.
The format is the 7th plays the 8th.
Yeah.
The winner of that becomes the 7th seed.
Right.
So they could win one game and they're the 7th seed. 9 plays 10. Winner of that plays the loser of the 7 and 8. And then they play each other and that becomes the 8th seed. But you're looking at either Phoenix or the Clippers, though, likely in the first round then for the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's brutal, because even if you get out of it, it's going to take a lot out of you, and you could get poached the next round because you're worn down.
Yeah, it makes your road a lot tougher. I guess if you can look at it and say, like, well, this is a team we're going to have to get through eventually, and I'm sure the Lakers publicly would say that too. So I guess that's an outlook. I guess for this particular team, I'm not as concerned, other than the fact that they would have to play an additional game and not have that extra time of rest. Because, by the way, a lot of guys on the roster are banged up. Dennis Schroeder was on the verge of not playing last night with an injury. Marc Gasol is back in the lineup, I think mainly because Andre Drummond didn't play. He's kind of banged up. They have a bunch of their important players.
Got the toenail.
Yeah, there's a bunch of their important players who are playing through injuries themselves. KCP, I think, has a back issue. All their guys are playing through a lot of issues right now, so you can try to get in as much extra rest as you possibly can, which maybe, to your point, Adam, does hasten them to try to fight to make sure they stay out of that 7-hole.
Well, I think next week could be critical, and that's part of the reason why Anthony Davis is likely going to be back, and I would not be shocked if LeBron James was back all of a sudden with him.
If I make you Rob Pelinka and you're weighing this right now, what decision are you making? Do you risk giving them extra rest, knowing that it's a possibility you can lose all these, and saying, hey, we just want to be healthy once the playoffs start, play in game be damned, or do you want to get them in to try to fight to get a 6-5-4 type seed? What decision are you making?
It depends on what the doctors say, obviously. How much worse could it get? Could they exacerbate it? Could they have a career-altering type of injury coming back from this?
Yeah. How much
we
of a
know
difference?
What they're doing with Anthony Davis.
Right.
He's going to play 15 minutes. Could LeBron come back and play 25?
Yeah.
So LeBron, to me, is the one I'm not nearly as concerned about.
Agree.
I thought he'd be back in a month.
I mean, that's what the prognosis was.
So I could see him coming back, not being completely healed yet, and playing through it while still getting healthy. Because we've seen LeBron James all the time throughout his career, but especially the last 5 years, coast, knowing his body, knowing how to ramp up for the playoffs, knowing that he can play at 80% or give 80% effort and they can still win the damn game, because LeBron at 80% is still that special and that great and can still be the best player on the floor.
Yeah. So if it's just, I think I'm tending to agree with you. If it's just a pain management situation with LeBron, and maybe he's not 100%, but maybe he's 83 or 85% or something, that's good enough for me, while being able to still manage his minutes, because 85% of LeBron is better than 100% of 90% of all the other players in the league, and hopefully that makes sense.
And they don't have a back-to-back coming up for a bit,
which is big.
So they're getting days off in between. He could play less minutes. He could give less effort when he's out there. He could manage himself out there on the court.
Done at times healthy.
He's an expert at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after Dallas, things get a lot easier quickly. Orlando, Washington, Sacramento, Toronto. They're bad right now. They're not playing well. They're better than they were. They're healthier.
Right.
And then things get tough again. Denver, L.A., Portland, Phoenix. So they have a chance. I could see this happening in the standings. I could see Dallas jumping the Lakers and Portland, depending on what happens next week between the Dallas Mavericks and the Lakers. So I could see the Lakers going back to the sixth seed and Portland dropping to the seventh seed. I could see that happening.
If you're the Lakers and you can find some way to muster up enough to split with Utah and Dallas, that would be a humongous victory. Quite honestly, I don't see that happening. Let's get to some rap news. Just keeping it real, Adam.
Hi, Kurt Loder with an MTV News
we
brief.
Touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
A generation raised on beef.
I mean, even though we were going through our trauma, I would never wish death on nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because ain't no coming back from that.
Who shot you?
This is an artist called Eminem. It's spelled funky.
Because he's a white guy.
Bill O'Reilly.
Chris Brown is accused of assault and battery.
I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit.
So Eazy-E's daughter, her name is E.B. Wright, is working on or has been working on a documentary about the life of her father. And apparently she's recruited a bunch of people from the heyday of NWA to kind of give their thoughts and their insights. Now, I believe this potential documentary also brings to light a theory that Eazy-E did not pass away from AIDS, but that he was actually murdered. Yeah, which is something that I had never heard before.
So was he poisoned when he was
In the hospital? Somebody
was it a slow poisoning of him?
Somebody was messing with his bag in the hospital? I don't know.
Because what was that conspiracy theory regarding Suge Knight where he gave him a needle?
He injected him.
Yeah.
Or something.
Any artists out there want to be...
There was that theory.
With AIDS.
Yeah, that Suge did it or had somebody do it, inject him with AIDS directly.
Believing in Bigfoot before that.
Okay. I'll tend to agree with you. So she's trying to recruit Ice Cube to be a part of the documentary. The problem is... No. Ice Cube is not being responsive to her request. Now, Ice Cube has not said anything publicly, has not said a word about why he won't do it or if he won't do it, but she's reached out to him numerous times, and Ice Cube, for whatever reason, has not responded. She says, "It breaks my heart that he hasn't spoken on this yet because I grew up with his sons and I have a really good relationship with them." This is actually a conversation she had with O'Shea Jackson, who played, that's O'Shea Jackson Jr., which is Ice Cube's son.
He was awesome.
Who played him in the movie and has done some other acting after that.
He was in King Kong, Skull Island.
He was, yeah, that's right. You're right. She said that O'Shea Jr. Told her that Ice Cube was going to be willing to be a part of the project, but since then, she says she's tried to book Cube, and he has not been responsive for whatever reason.
Is he making another Are We There Yet movie?
Possibly.
Is he busy?
Possibly. I know he has a new crew. He, Snoop, E-40, and one other West Coast rapper, I forget who it is,
I've heard about
have
this.
Formed this new rap super group
I like this.
And they're going to start doing some things pretty soon here.
It's big time West Coast.
Yeah, I forget, and I'm sorry, I forget exactly who I'm missing.
Yeah.
But it's definitely Cube, Snoop, and E-40. There's another. Too short, I believe.
Right?
Thank you. Yes, it is too short. Thank you. Are going to form a group here pretty soon.
Because I think that was talked about during the E-40 Too Short versus battle.
Yeah, it was mentioned. It was hinted at for sure.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. So
that's a great battle, too.
That is coming to light. Now, in the trailer of the movie, apparently, she says she's been working on the film with her mother for years. And within the first couple of minutes, she questions why there was a cover-up surrounding Eazy-E's death. She says Eazy was diagnosed with AIDS, not HIV, 3 weeks before he died. He was then placed in isolation immediately upon arrival at the hospital and was not allowed to see any family or friends, and that raised a lot of suspicions.
Sounds like some X-Files stuff.
It does. So how deeply she goes into this? Yeah, you and Vic.
Fox and Scully on the case.
I don't know how accurate any of this is, but I will say this. If and when the documentary is released, best believe I'm one of the first people watching. I'll say that.
So it's a documentary.
Correct.
But
so again,
there's a little bit of bias there. It's his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Overarching, I think it's going to be about the life of Eazy-E from the people that knew him closest, his family members and other friends. And I think a part of it or a subplot is about the way that he died.
Yeah.
And the conspiracy, if there is one, which I didn't know until now that there was one, as to how that actually happened.
The only one I knew was Suge.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't aware of this new one.
Isn't there a way to confirm how long he was technically in the hospital, how long he was suffering, and it wasn't just something that rapidly came about in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you would think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Well, maybe she's on to something.
She could be, which again is why I am intrigued.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
Something
to see
feels
that.
Me, even if Cube doesn't participate, even though he's one of the big principal figures, she'll find a way to green light this thing and get it on.
I'm sure she has a ton of behind the scenes home video like footage, similar to what we've seen with the Biggie documentary that was released. I Got a Story to Tell on Netflix,
right?
Which was fabulous,
it was excellent
because of all the footage they had, where they had somebody in their crew that was recording the entire time while they were on tour behind the scenes,
right? Which was amazing.
Which made it so much better than just other people being interviewed, telling the story for him.
Which is so crazy how those things work. You know, I don't know what I was listening to or watching the other day, but I don't know if you saw the Bret the Hitman Hart documentary.
Oh, yeah.
That chronicled, but the intention was not to chronicle him getting screwed over by Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels. Well, it was mostly Vince, not Shawn.
Well, they didn't know.
At least Shawn says he didn't know, and to this day.
That's what makes it so great, though.
Yeah,
the documentary coincided with him getting the Montreal screwjob and spitting in Vince McMahon's face.
And we never saw him actually punch Vince, but we see Vince walking down the hallway with a very angry look on his face and sneering at Bret's son, who's sitting in the corner playing with his toys.
And it looked like, didn't he have a broken ankle? Didn't he?
He did.
When he got
when he
decked.
Fell. When he fell, yeah. Yes. Yes. When he fell, he did break his ankle.
He had a LeBron James ankle.
Yeah, so it was just funny how those things just coincided with each other. And that's why there were conspiracy theorists who said that that whole thing was planned and that they did it for the movie, which is obviously not true.
Yeah, I don't think
not
so.
True in the least bit.
They were just
chronicling
Bret Hart. Documenting the fact that he was about to leave the WWF.
Yes, and that's all it was.
Which was monumental at the time. Mm-hmm. He was one of the biggest faces.
Oh, no, he was the biggest face left because all of their big guys left already.
Hulk Razor had
Ramon,
left.
Hulk had left years before, but Razor Ramon and Diesel were big guys. They both left. Mm. And then when, basically at that time, it was Bret. There was no, Bret and Shawn Michaels were the only two.
I'm living in a nightmare.
He was also
Macho
gone.
Man?
Macho Man was also gone at that point in time.
To WCW?
Yeah, that's when WCW and Ted Turner, Deep Pockets Ted, was just paying everybody who had any decent-sized name to come to WCW at that point. And that's when WWF, I don't know if they've admittedly said this, but that's when they got more edgy. Because it's like, all right, the wrestling itself isn't holding up. We got to do something. So let's take this guy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and have him cuss people out and slam beers off the boss's head and bring out big-boobed blonde women and have them flash the crowd.
And what about The Godfather?
Well, I mean, one of the great gimmicks and really, not just sports entertainment and wrestling history, Adam, just in the history of all time, Godfather.
What was his thing?
He would have matches. He would have scheduled matches. He would come out with women, affectionately called hoes, and he would say, well, look, you can either wrestle me right now and lose, because you know you're going to lose to me because I'm a great wrestler, or you can have your choice of any one of these fine hoes.
You thought I was play pimping, didn't you? Huh?
Sometimes it would work, and he would win the match by default because his opponent would take one of the ladies and do what they will.
That's so absurd.
He won his only Intercontinental Championship that way because I forget exactly. I don't even remember who was wrestling. But I remember he was not involved in the match. Right before the match started, he came down with his ladies and said, look, give me an opportunity to wrestle this guy for the Intercontinental title, and you can have any of these ladies or all of these ladies. And the challenger said, cool, I'll take the ladies. And so Godfather fought for the Intercontinental title, and he won. That's how he got his Intercontinental Championship shot.
Wait a minute, I'm a pimp.
All right, we got some phone calls to get to before we check out
baby.
It was the best and the worst. 949-478-1197 is the voicemail to call. I'm pretty sure we have some dedication requests in.
Get the Spotify ready.
After
fire
we,
it up.
Solicited this on social media and talked about this last time, which was a roaring success, according to many.
Yes, it was.
Last episode.
Well, this is what you do, Kevin.
That's just...
You've been working this other job
sure
for a long time. It's about time we utilize these skills.
Well, let you people tell it. First call.
Congratulations, James and Bree. You're right. I could not last a month. That was some of the most awful review of WrestleMania I've ever heard in my life. Nobody thought Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre was the best match of night one. It wasn't even the second best match of night one. But I digress. The best match of the night was obviously, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. The second best match of that night was Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. I don't know if Peter's a new wrestling fan. He doesn't watch it like I do. Maybe I'm too close to it. But even if you're not too close to it, if you just came out off of planet Mars and started watching wrestling, Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre was not the best match of the night. Most forgettable opener of WrestleMania I've ever seen in my life. Anyways. And he goes and says Asuka and Rhea Ripley was one of the best women matches. It wasn't even better than freaking Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. I don't know if Peter knew that I wasn't calling in and he just said all that bullshit to get me pissed, but nobody listen to what he says. He doesn't know anything about wrestling. Later.
You know what that sounded like from Andre? That sounded like a wrestling promo.
We're
going to have ourselves an Andre versus Peter. Celebrity, FNA celebrity wrestling match, it sounds like.
He took great issue because Peter was there.
He was. He was in attendance.
For WrestleMania 50 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I forget the number now.
Over the weekend, gave us three different voicemails reviewing it. Mm-hmm. It's an entire weekend event now. Mm-hmm. But Andre disagreed with his assessment on some of those matches, apparently.
Yeah, and like I don't think either of us have seen a second of any match, so we can't.
I don't know who's right.
I can't judge. I cannot judge on what the best or worst matches were.
But I am glad that Andre was that irked.
Yes.
That might have been his best call, honestly.
Yeah.
In terms of being cogent.
Yes.
And on point.
And bringing the passion along with it. That was pretty good, Andre. By the way, one of my favorite names, I don't know what she looks like, Bianca Belair. If it hasn't made an appearance on the Jonas Knox Show and pro wrestler or a porn star, it will. Trust me. Next caller.
Hello, this is Jimmy from San Diego. I'm calling in. This is the request line. It's coming to. It's becoming, I guess. I have a request, a dedication to, a double dedication. This is for Kevin Figures as he's leaving the Bachelor game behind and Adam is entering it. Hopefully he's still in it. I want to dedicate, Pop That Pussy by Two Live Crew to both of them.
Oh, God.
One of them is leaving the game. One of them is still in the game, hopefully. FNA, have a good one.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you. I appreciate the call.
Has to be done. It has to be done, Kevin.
It's really not a dedication-type song, per se. But, you know.
It is now.
Let me see what I can.
Not the Two Live Stews, but
no.
The original.
Yes.
Two Live Crew.
I can't believe that. All right. Well, I guess here we go.
Look at the ass on that bitch. Look at the titties.
That's Chappelle?
Yes. Well, what up, everybody? This is the FNA Podcast. We got a special dedication going out to my man K-Fig on his upcoming nuptials. Congratulations there, brother. Special shout-out, special dedication to you from our guy Jimmy in San Diego. This is Two Live Crew. Pop That Pussy. Get it, brother. We're proud of you. I really hope my in-laws, future in-laws, don't hear this.
I thought I was involved there, too, because I'm still a bachelor. What about me, Kevin?
And shout out to our man Adam Austin, too, still in the Bachelor game. FNA has not lost the one Bachelor left. Go out there and get it, Adam. Maybe you can one day find yourself a girl.
Who will?
You know what it is. AM 570 LA Sports there, brother.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy.
I feel dirty. All right, next caller.
Is not verified properly. Customers searching for your services on Google will not find your listing.
Okay.
That's well, a bitch again.
Cut that bitch off. Next caller.
Jeez. All right.
I'd call her a bitch if it was a dude saying the same thing.
Exactly. Next call.
What's up, FNA? I was going to take some time off from calling. Peter from North Dakota here. But with the song request, I figured I got to get it in. I'd like to request Relax by Reggie Snow. I think it's going to be the song of the summer. It's a new song. And I'd like to dedicate it to Andre, who needs to relax and stop taking all this shit so seriously. Thanks, guys. FNA. Congrats, Kevin.
So it's not the White Boy Summer song by Chet that's going to be the song of the summer, Chet Hanks. Have you seen that video, by the way?
Who is this guy?
Speaking of Pop That P. You know, Chet Hanks.
I have no
Tom
idea.
Tom Hanks' rapper,
oh,
reggae
that,
son.
Oh, that is, I didn't know what his name was.
Isn't it great? It's Chet.
Of course it's Chet. What
and
else would
it be?
He's
got a White Boy Summer song where he has his face just slapping against ass the entire time. I'm not kidding. You cannot exaggerate how douchey it is. Kind of catchy, though.
Okay, so.
So what do we got
with
from
Peter? All that being said, I still rock with it, is what Adam basically
well,
says.
Well,
I'm
a white boy and summer's on the way.
All right.
I got my vaccine.
This is a Relax by Reggie Snow, apparently, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently it's brand new. So let's see what we got.
Relax.
It's not creepy at all, Adam.
R-E-L-A-X.
That is not the song. That is Adam, by the way. I just want to let, in case the listeners have now been creeped out thoroughly. Got another dedication in. This comes from our guy, Peter, in North Dakota, via Burbank, via Tampa, via wherever he may be. Sending this special shout-out dedication to our friend, Andre 3000 Ways to Hate on Adam Austin. Calm down. Mellow out. Everything is going to be okay, Andre. Everything is going to be all right. We got this dedication. Relax. By Reggie Snow. All is well. Just relax, Andre. Just relax.
Very timely after the call we got.
I would say
from
so.
Andre.
I wonder
that
if,
worked out nicely.
I wonder if Peter was aware that Andre left a very angry and stern voicemail in his honor.
I think he was. Because Andre was blocked not just by me recently,
oh, no,
but also by the FNA show account.
Oh, wow.
And he said
I wasn't aware
he's not going to call into the show ever again. So that's why at the beginning of his call, he was like, all right, you guys were right. I would call it again. I couldn't hold out.
I, you know, as one of the co-hosts of the FNA show, I was not aware that the FNA Twitter feed blocked him.
I don't know if it was me or Bree. No, he said something really out of line
oh, did he?
To Bree.
Oh, yeah, you can't have that, Andre.
This was the most deserving block he's
okay.
ever gotten.
Yeah, that's not cool. We all like to joke around and have a little fun here, but you can't push it too far there, Andre. Come on, man. You know better than that.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for your calls.
Keep them coming.
If you have more dedications, I guess this is what we're doing now. So, 949-478-1197. The Talk Ass Hotline, as our account has told you, is now also the dedication line. So, 949-478-1197.
In fact, because Bree posted this yesterday at FNA show, we have a couple of unique, one-of-a-kind items.
Literally one-of-a-kind. There's only one of each.
And we're going to give them away next week
mm-hmm.
to the best dedications that we get through
yep.
the Talk Ass Hotline.
That's right.
So keep them coming.
So that's the first show and the second show next week on the FNA podcast. The best dedication of that week, or best two, I guess we should say. Or do you want to extrapolate this out from 2 weeks there, Adam? Do you want to give away both next week or save one for the following week?
Let's just say you're eligible.
Okay.
If you drop one next week.
Perfect. That works too.
949-478-1197. 949-478-1197.
And again, this is only if you call the TalkYes hotline or dedication line. Sending me a tweet saying I want to dedicate XYZ to ABC is not going to work.
No.
You have to call the TalkYes hotline for this to work. And our FNA account will be sure to let you know that as well. So don't tweet me. Don't tweet Adam. Don't tweet Bree. Don't tweet the FNA show. Call us at 949-478-1197 if you desire to have your dedication read on the show.
That sounded a little bit like...
Don't ever come by here.
Don't tweet me. And it is Friday.
It is.
And obviously, it can be any song after we heard Pop That P earlier.
Well, clearly. Jeez.
You're not limited.
Never thought that was going to happen, but there you go.
Is that going to be at the post-wedding bachelor party type thing we're going to have? Yeah, wait a second. What about the bachelor party? We haven't even got into that yet.
It's not been discussed yet. It hasn't come up. I literally proposed a week ago.
Still counts.
And I'm getting like a deluge of all this stuff from many different directions. Can I breathe for 2 seconds before we start talking bachelor parties and who's coming and who's going to be the opening act? And Matt says he wants one of his daughters to like fling the wedding rings from the back of the room with her lacrosse stick. Now,
Tim's daughters don't want any of that.
Yeah, it was like any of them. You're all too old. With all due respect, ladies, you're all too old. It's not happening. You're not ring bearers or flower girls or whatever role. It's not happening. What's wrong with you people?
We're the babies.
Yeah.
We're the babies, Kevin. Let's go.
It takes time, Adam. These things don't happen overnight.
It's historic. What do you mean?
I'm sure there is. Thank y'all for listening. If you do want to tweet us, not about dedications, at FNA Show, also Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at FNA Show. I am at KFig1. Adam is at follow Adam A. Thank you guys for your support and listening.
Until next Monday or Tuesday for Kevin Figures. I'm Adam Osland. We love you guys. We'll talk to you then.
The Godfather and his California hoes. Oh, it's the Christmas season, JR. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. Ah. Oh. Little extra cleavage there in the back. Oh, baby.
Well, these plastic surgeons out here stay busy, don't they? Woo-hoo.